Bill Gates is still a nerd and knows he's a nerd and has fun with his personality. Jeff Bezos seems like a completely transformed individual.
I completely agree. I think Bill Gates has matured and become more self-aware. But Bezos, it feels, what's the word? It feels more artificial,
contrived. What I was thinking. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to GeekWire. I'm GeekWire editor Todd Bishop.
And I'm GeekWire co-founder John Cook.
We've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about this week. It was a week of serious news, everything from HP Enterprise's acquisition of Seattle supercomputer legend Cray for $1.3 billion to a surprising partnership between Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook, and Twitter in response to the Christchurch shooting in New Zealand. Tons of serious stuff happening. So, John, I want to start with Minecraft.
Something fun. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Microsoft just this week unveiled its response, its answer to Pokemon Go, although they're very careful to say that that's
they're just
not
geocaching games.
Right.
Yes.
They called, right, exactly. The Microsoft execs called Pokemon Go, well, they alluded to Pokemon Go and said, sort of a geocaching game, which I guess is a major insult in the world of augmented reality. But the news is interesting. So Microsoft bought Mojang, or Mojang, however you want to say it. I've heard it multiple ways. The Swedish game developer that makes Minecraft many years ago. It was at the early stages of Satya Nadella's tenure. And people were like, why is Microsoft buying Minecraft? It doesn't make sense. It was weird.
I didn't think it was weird. I think it's a great strategy. Because if you talk to kids under the age of 15, they have a deep connection and affinity to Microsoft now based on two products, Xbox and Minecraft.
If they know that Minecraft and Xbox are even affiliated with Microsoft.
Does that matter?
No, you're right.
That does not matter.
You're right. And in fact,
you could have multiple brands and they can be very successful with multiple brands. Now, the funny thing with my son, when we go over to University Village here, to the shopping mall in Seattle, and we have the choice between going to the Apple store and the Microsoft store, he picks the Microsoft store.
Why?
Because he wants to go in there and play FIFA or Fortnite on the Xbox.
Very interesting.
And the thing that, yeah, so it, I think they have really cemented their place with this they're set up nicely for the next generation of computer users. And now Apple historically did this with their deep integration into the education market.
Yep.
But I actually think Microsoft is really nicely positioned to build on this next generation of computer users in a very interesting way.
So this new product that they're going to be releasing this summer, they have not given a specific date. It's called Minecraft Earth. And the idea is very similar to Pokemon Go. I don't know why they were throwing shade on Niantic and all that stuff. But it's interesting in part because Pokemon Go is developed here in the Seattle region by Niantic. And Microsoft, of course, has now a deep interest in Minecraft. But the whole idea is you walk around with your phone, iOS and Android. No Windows phone mentioned here.
Too bad.
Sorry.
On Windows phone.
Sorry, yeah. Windows phone users. The three of you are not going to be able to play this. But you walk around with your phone and you are able to hold it up and see a different version of the world in front of you. In this case, a Minecraft world. And the whole idea is that you're able to go on quests with friends, build things together. Very similar in a lot of ways to Pokemon Go. Although it sounds like you're not going to be capturing things like you do in Pokemon. So you actually have a lot of history with this, John, with Pokemon.
Well, with Pokemon Go, yeah. The funny thing happened. We got into it when it came out. I got chastised by my wife for introducing Pokemon Go into the family because it consumed us for one summer. And my wife is very anti-screen time, which I applaud that. But the thing, so I don't know, when did Pokemon Go come out? You know, a couple years ago.
2-3 years ago.
Yeah. And so it was a very hot thing. For a year, we did not play Pokemon Go at least, you know, or more. About 3 weeks ago, Pokemon Go has come back into our family.
Really?
And amongst my son's friends in a much bigger way. So it's, I don't know why. I don't know what happened. I just, all of a sudden, we're out now walking around Green Lake playing Pokemon Go again. And so I don't know if that's part of a broader cycle, but we're back into it. So I'm a fan of these games. I think they're really fun. They are a little more interactive with the real world, although people could argue that you're walking around Green Lake and bumping into people, but you're at least walking around Green Lake. You know, you're not sequestered in your basement, not talking to anybody. And so I think there's a lot to this in terms of the market potential. Here's my beef. Now, you're going to correct me, or you're going to give me the reason why this happens. I read this story on GeekWire about Minecraft Earth, and I saw the headline. I was like, oh, cool. I want to go download this and play this.
No,
why do I have to wait? Why do they do this?
I'm not going to correct you on this. You're absolutely right.
Why do they do this? I'm going to forget about Minecraft Earth by the time it comes out in 4 months. Now, unless they do some massive advertising blitz to get it back out there. But like, you got one shot to tell me about this and get me excited. I actually kind of was excited. I was like, oh, I'm going to give this a try and see if we want to play this. I'm a lost customer.
It's actually worse than that, John, because, you know, they teased this
at the end of
Satya Nadella's keynote at Build. And then we were thinking, oh, well, they've pointed ahead to this date. Maybe that's the date when it's going to be released. Yeah. No.
So now there are two teases to it.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I guess, well, I could see where modern marketers would say, well, no, they're building buzz. They're building the buzz and the anticipation. And so but I get what you're saying. They only have so much of your attention that they can get, and they've already taken it all up.
So come back and talk to me in, what, it's summertime that they're saying it's going to be launched, which probably means August 31, you know, right when the kids are going back to school and no one's, you know, that's the other thing. The optimal time to be playing this is right now as kids are getting out of school.
Well, it's kind of like the whole scooter thing in Seattle, actually. You know, that's not going to happen until next fall, right when, you know, everybody basically is starting to get back into their cars.
And it starts to rain.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, okay.
By the way, we will have an update on the scooter situation later in our random channel, stick around for that. But to me, bigger picture, I think it's great to see Microsoft taking Minecraft into new places that actually do dovetail specifically with what Microsoft is doing, because one of the things that Nat Levy, who covered this story for us, pointed out is that Microsoft has really been working on this for a while. One of the first demos that they did for HoloLens, their augmented reality headset, was something that was clearly kind of a generic Minecraft. And they were able to take that work and incorporate it into this new game, Minecraft Earth.
And then it does speak to this idea, you know, there's been a lot of hype around augmented reality and virtual reality. I think this does speak to and Microsoft always kind of put their big bet was always on AR, augmented reality.
Right, or there's not much difference.
Versus VR with the, you know, where it is a little more intrusive, you got to have a headset on. And to me, in terms of my own experiences, it seems like AR is where there's a little bit more exciting stuff going on and wider adoption. So
I agree. You don't have to lose yourself in a virtual world. You can basically just sort of distract yourself from the real
world.
That's
enough for me. Just a distraction.
All right. So that is Minecraft Earth. I will link to both the news story and Nat's hands-on with that game from the show notes on geekwire.com. We will be right back to explain why Amazon is offering to pay its own employees to quit. You're going to want to stick around for that. That's coming up next on GeekWire.
I wanted a career in IT, but I didn't know where to start. WGU makes it simple. Their accredited online degree programs cover all kinds of IT specialties, and they have valuable industry certifications built in at no extra cost. The payoff? Having those certs back up my degree makes me look even better to future employers. A nonprofit university that includes top industry certs in their programs? I choose WGU. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.
All right, welcome back. It's Todd Bishop with John Cook talking about the week's news here on the GeekWire podcast. John, there is a story that I've been totally geeking out on.
I know why.
Why?
I know why you're interested in this.
Why?
Because of your history. You started at UPS, and you know, so your roots are in package delivery.
It's that. You know, my dad is really into this world. My dad is a small business owner who has done a lot of wholesaling, and so he does a lot of shipping, and he's always looking for ways to...
The best deal.
Yeah, and like, oh, wait, if I get that box to this size, it's this much less versus this much weight, and he would always kind of lecture me on the economics and the physics of shipping, so it's something that he and I can talk about too, but... And in fact, I worked on my big deep dive on the Amazon Delivery Service Partners program. The big story I did last year, I think, was over Thanksgiving when he and I could work on it together. It was kind of our project.
Wow,
at any rate,
cool.
Okay. So the program, DSP, Delivery Service Partners, was announced last year. And the whole idea is that Amazon helps independent entrepreneurs start their own small businesses. So these are not Amazon contractors. They are businesses that have agreements with Amazon, and they're helped by Amazon. And on top of that, they have essentially a guaranteed revenue stream. So a lot of the advantages.
This is so brilliant. It really is a brilliant business move.
But it's also pretty wicked.
We'll get into that.
So obviously there's lots of advantages for entrepreneurs. Somebody who is going to start their own small business anyway, you hook up with Amazon and you can do it with some built-in advantages. But Amazon also has huge advantages here, some of which are to the detriment of these small business owners. One of them is it doesn't have to employ the people that the small business owners employ. None of that liability. Number two, if you look at the economics, and I won't go through all the numbers, but if you look at the economics, and I'll link to this from the show notes to the deep dive that I did, it's a pretty crappy business.
That's a hard business. Yeah,
it is. You got to. Yeah. It's not absentee ownership kind of thing. You can't basically have a business in California and live in Florida. You got to be hands-on day to day, really 24/7 in many ways.
And they said the revenue potential for these companies is between $1 million and $4.5 million a year, with profits between $75,000 and $300,000. So it's not the greatest profit margin here.
No, it's frankly a classic retail profit margin, pretty thin. I mean, that's single-digit percentages, if I remember correctly. It's not the kind of thing that you're going to, you know, spin up into the next great unicorn company. It is a hard, labor-intensive small business with some advantages, but also a lot of limitations.
The only way you could potentially make a lot of money in this, and it's probably prohibited by Amazon if you partner with the program, is if you started to get success in this and you started to gobble up and roll up all of the other organizations in this DSP program.
Exactly.
Now, and then you could probably get to scale and build a decent business, but there's probably only one or two of those across the country.
Absolutely. And now they do put a limit on the number of drivers and trucks that each of these businesses can own. I haven't seen...
Right. That's exactly why.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. They don't want any one of these companies to get so much power that they have negotiating leverage against Amazon.
Correct.
It's so brilliant and wicked. Those are the two phrases that I keep coming back to.
And there's also the employee component of this too, where they're encouraging their employees to go off and do this, which speaks to another issue with Amazon, which is they need to move this workforce, which is probably largely in their fulfillment centers.
Exactly.
Which are going to get replaced by robots.
Yep.
And this is a way for Amazon to offer a outlet for those people. And do so in a heartwarming way.
Yeah. Oh, look, we don't care if you work
here.
We're
entrepreneurial. We're trying to encourage all these entrepreneurs.
Follow your dream.
With these stringent restrictions around you of how big you can get.
Chase the stars. You don't have to work at Amazon. Here's some help to go out and do something that's completely to Amazon's advantage. Go for it.
Yeah. It's pretty brilliant.
That was, by the way, the news this past week and the reason that we're talking about this. Even though the program was announced last year, Amazon followed up this past week by saying employees who quit their jobs to start their own package delivery companies will be eligible for up to $10,000 and 3 months' pay under the new incentive program. So to your point, John, I think this is right in line with their existing retraining efforts for their fulfillment center employees.
Which is a notable program and also very unique that they are recognizing what's coming in 3 to 5 years, and they are trying to do something for there are people that they know are going to get displaced. I don't know if Amazon is always as transparent about that as maybe they should be, but they are putting programs in place to help that transition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, this program, if you take this out further, 20 years, there's going to be autonomous vehicles doing all this and probably robots delivering it to your door. So they'll have to figure out another program to replace these entrepreneurs who've gone out to create this delivery infrastructure for them.
And I'm sure they will.
They'll be on Jeff Bezos's moon colony at that point.
Exactly.
They're like, oh, you know, this is all going to work out, guys. It's going to be great.
Don't worry about it.
It's going to be great.
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah. So that was the news this past week. To me, it's a fascinating program. After I wrote that story last year, I get 2 or 3 emails a week from people who want to apply to it, and they think that I have additional information beyond what I published, and they're asking for all the inside details. And I'm like, sorry.
You should farm them off to your dad.
He could start his own consultancy.
Yeah, that's right, his consulting company for all these people that are reaching out.
Okay, here's your first step. Okay, find a box that's 6 inches smaller. Yeah. That would be his first advice. At any rate, it's interesting. And the last thing I wanted to mention was, I do not think the timing of this is coincidence. In other words, just 2 weeks ago, as we focused on in an entire episode of the GeekWire podcast, Amazon announced plans to shift the core shipping benefit for Prime from 2-day free delivery to 1 day. And they need more capacity, more people out there delivering packages, particularly on the last mile. And this gets them there if they can.
They need butts and vans. Butts and vans. Driving around.
But why don't they call it that? Butts and Vans, the BIV program. All right, so that is Amazon's Delivery Service Partner program. If you want to nerd out on that, I will link to everything from the show notes on this podcast. We will be right back with the Random Channel. Welcome back to GeekWire. It is time for the Random Channel, that moment of the week where we talk about some random items that we were buzzing about behind the scenes at GeekWire. John, we had a team outing this past week on Monday to the T-Mobile Field. I was about to say, like, you still want to say Safeco. Nah.
T-Mobile Park.
Yeah. Gosh, when am I going to get it right? So I had an ulterior motive, I think you know, in going to T-Mobile Park. I actually talked about it on last week's Random Channel. This is going to be an ongoing quest on the GeekWire podcast that will eventually result in a story at GeekWire. I want to be able to listen to the game in the stands with my AirPods
on. I've heard about this.
Yes, just a little.
Multiple times.
Well, yes, exactly. And get used to it. Because
Where's the story?
This is very important.
Where's the in-depth story on this?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go back and do some more things because I tested this in the stands at the park through the Major League Baseball at Bat app, the ballpark app, one of those two, and the Cairo app, the Cairo radio, or the 710 ESPN app, the main radio stream. There is, depending on which app you use to stream, a 30 to 60 second delay in the audio from the live action on the field, rendering it impossible to listen to the game through your phone, at least as far as I've been able to find, in a way that really makes the action, that lines up with the action on the field. And, you know, here's my thing on this. We're talking about augmented reality, Pokemon Go, this new Minecraft Earth game. To me, this whole concept, listening to the audio of the game while you're in the stands at the stadium, is the original augmented reality. Think about
it. It's an American right.
It is.
For you to be able to listen to the game on your app and watch the ball game.
It is. Why is this not in the Constitution? At any rate, I'm going to have to, I guess, I'm looking for either an app that provides a true live radio broadcast, or I think I'm just going to have to nerd out. I'm going to go to the Goodwill this weekend and look for an AM/FM
transistor.
Transistor radio. Here's the other problem I ran into, though.
Take your boombox down there. So, they won't let you in with it, probably.
Here's what I'm thinking. We should go back for the next afternoon game, and just a couple of us, and record the podcast in the stands.
Oh, I love this idea.
And then as part of that, we can do the talk about the whole quest to listen to the game. But just generally record a podcast in the stands.
Yeah, we could each have a different listening device.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see which one works best.
Yeah, exactly. But the problem on the AirPods is I couldn't hear. You had to jack the noise up so loud. You don't realize how loud the ambient noise is in the stadium until you try to listen to something on normal earbuds. It was ridiculous. Like, I just want to hear Rick, Riz, what's the matter?
Take your, noise-canceling headphones in there so no one can bother you. You can just listen to the game.
Actually, that was the other cool thing, though. I could go on about this forever. I kind of liked the idea of the AirPods because you could maybe just put it in one ear.
How do you do it in one ear?
You just do it in one ear.
Whenever I do my AirPods in one ear,
it turns
off the volume.
Put it in one ear and press play.
Oh, is that how you do it? Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, and here's the other cool thing on the AirPods. You know, you can take, you can put it in one ear. My wife and I do this sometimes if we're watching the show.
Oh, that
you
makes
put it
sense.
In one ear and the other person puts it in the other, and you basically have the same experience.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be like right next to each other with the cord. AirPods are amazing, man. Every week I find some kind of new thing that I can do with the AirPods.
I need to do a little bit more more of a deep dive into all the functionality with it.
We got a trampoline recently in the backyard. I set my phone over on the grass. I turn on the podcast and I get my exercise.
They stick in your ears.
Yes.
They've never flown out.
No.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah. I saw somebody playing cornhole with AirPods in the other day. The uses are endless.
Cornhole. I mean, a trampoline. You're comparing cornhole to a trampoline experience. Come
on. I'm just saying.
Cornhole, you're barely moving.
I'm not implying that was the most jarring of experiences, but it was like professional cornhole players. Have you ever seen these on
TV? Yes, I have. I've watched it on TV. I actually kind of got hooked into the NCAA National Championship cornhole tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
One other. I'm just going to dominate the random channel.
That's
this
fine.
Week.
Okay. I love this idea of going to the ballpark
okay.
with you.
We will. At the ballpark, Alan Boyle, GeekWire's aerospace and science editor, was behind me. So we got to chatting about the trip that he just came back from, where he was able to see Jeff Bezos unveil their plan for a moon colony at Blue Origin. And he made a really interesting observation that I would actually like to make a personal quest of mine. So
you've got a lot of mission-driven activities.
I'm very mission-driven this week.
Today.
So he noticed that even more than usual, Jeff Bezos was sequestered from any of the press. He was backstage. They made it very, they were very careful to ensure that there was no extemporaneous interaction between Jeff Bezos and the reporters. And it made me think back to CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, back when Alan Mulally was running Ford. Because, you know, there's a tradition at Boeing that I absolutely love. And I actually don't know if Dennis Muilenburg, the current CEO, has continued this. But back in the day, Boeing's executives, when they did appearances at trade events, news conferences, whatever, they would finish and then they would walk to the front of the stage and do a press scrum. They would answer questions from reporters. And it was so refreshing. It was like they were confident enough in themselves and open enough with the world that they could just sit there and answer questions. And I loved it. Culturally, I want the tech industry to adopt this. I think it's extremely important.
We could mandate it at our GeekWire Summit on October 8th and 9th in Seattle and require that anybody,
Let's see how that goes.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Now I get it. All right. I'll drop that. I don't know. I love that one aspect of Boeing's culture. And again, I don't know if Dennis Muilenburg has continued it, and he did not at the GeekWire Summit last year.
May not be doing it here given recent situation.
Right, everything with the Boeing. 737 MAX going on. But I don't know, it's very old school.
You know, there's with Bezos, you know, you brought him up, and the one thing I've noticed, and this transformation even started prior to the allegations and controversy and situation that arose in his personal life, but this new persona of Jeff being out there. You know, what was he? He was in like a forklift.
A front-end loader.
Front loader.
Yeah.
What was it? Breaking ground for?
An Amazon airport hub.
Yeah, in Cincinnati. That's right. And like there's more of that going on where he's adopted this new personality to engage with people and I don't know. It's just interesting for a guy and a company that for 20 years or more of their existence essentially was not engaging at all with the community or public and kept extremely low profile. It's just an odd transition to watch.
It is. And it's not just his activities. It's his whole approach. If you watch the videos, like the 60 Minutes video that they did at that original building or one of the original buildings, I mean, he is uber nerd. I mean, and to some extent he still is, but he's gone from sort of awkward nerdy to swaggering, awkward, nerdy. You know,
yeah, like, and I guess you look at a transition like Bill Gates. He's also gone through a transition on how he interacts, but he still it doesn't seem as radical.
Yeah, and I would say
Bill Gates is still a nerd and knows he's a nerd, and
yeah.
and has fun with his personality. Jeff Bezos seems like a completely transformed individual.
I completely agree. I think Bill Gates has matured and become more self-aware, and I think we saw that. You know, Monica Nicholsberg and I got to interview Melinda Gates last week, and she talked about that. You know, Bill Gates, when he started Microsoft, those guys were boys. She literally said, "This culture was created by a group of boys. This is what happened." but Bezos, yeah, it feels. What's the word? It feels more artificial,
contrived,
scripted,
is what contrived. I was thinking. Yeah.
All right. So from that, I want to talk about the scooter situation. So, John, you know, Seattle is studying scooters. And I unfortunately, there's no...
Are you pro or con scooter?
That is a complicated question. I am pro scooter under specific situations. And the reason is this video here that I'm going to show you, there's no sound. Oh, actually, there is. There is sound. But it's a boardwalk bedlam. Kurt Schlosser on our team flagged this past week and posted about it. It's San Diego's boardwalk where scooters are interacting with bikes, crashes all over the place.
Well, there's a kid.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's
you about ready to get nailed.
Yeah, it's
that's a bad one.
Yeah, you got to. I'll link to this video. I wish you could see it on the podcast. Oh my God, look at that. Yeah,
yeah,
pretty
is,
bad.
This is such a bad idea.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So from there, we go to this guy.
Oh, gosh. I did not watch. I saw this in the random channel on GeekWire, but did not watch this. This is Jay Inslee.
The Washington State governor candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination. The tweet that he put out with this video is BRB. Be right back on my way to defeat climate change. So here's what he says.
We need to have our transportation system run on electricity. I'm going to make sure that happens. Clean energy. It's the future.
Now, John, do you notice the problem with that video? Notice the problem with what Jay is doing? Look at him again.
I might need to investigate this again. There's no helmet.
He's not wearing a helmet. The governor of our state.
Is that breaking any law? I know you have to wear a helmet on a bicycle.
In Seattle, technically, yes. Although no one
maybe
does.
He's not in Seattle.
Which
maybe
is
the law is different statewide.
Maybe. I don't know. I think this calls for a full investigation. Can we get a special prosecutor on this, at least at the municipal level, to look into Jay Inslee's scofflaw scooter riding?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It's just this whole thing. It's just there's so many ways that this video is disappointing.
To
answer your question on the scooters,
I guess just people. I guess I, just walk.
I like the idea. But the problem is what we see on some of the most dangerous streets in Seattle right now is people riding their bikes who haven't ridden bikes in years without helmets on. And I hate to sound like an old man, but somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get killed. People will get killed. They have gotten killed. It's just stupid. I actually think, you know, Jenny Durkin, the Seattle mayor, is talking about putting restrictions on some of these scooter companies. I actually think that they've got to make the scooter companies and the bike share companies liable for making sure that their users have helmets. That's what some kind of regulation around that. I don't know how exactly it would work, where the liability would fall, but there's got to be, I know there is technology out there with like collapsible helmets, but it just doesn't work economically for them to incorporate it into the whole system. So that's all I got. That's my full random channel, man.
I love it. Good
Jay,
stuff.
Jay, you know, yeah, Jay, I don't know, Jay. Governor Inslee, I get what he's trying to do. I get it, but and his cause is righteous. Climate change, man. It's the most important issue that's going to happen over the course of our lifetimes. Like,
he's scootering his way to success.
Right. I guess that's what it's going to take to make the climate cooler, make our planet safe.
Scooters.
Yeah. All right. With that, I'm looking for something to finish the show.
Gosh, I was going to just continue on the climate change, which isn't really upbeat, but we'll save this for another episode since we're winding down.
Yes.
But we'll tease ahead because remember, the Honda made a lot of appearance on the GeekWire podcast in the past.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Well, you know.
Let people in on this, John.
Well, the Honda was a reoccurring
John's
theme
Honda.
In my
John's 94 Honda Accord.
Yes, which died after 25 years
of
passed away, but
25 years since its last oil change.
We're in the market for a new car, but I'm going to tease ahead and talk a little bit more about that process for a future episode.
And it sounds like you might be considering alternative forms of energy to fuel this new family vehicle.
We have been.
Very interesting. Stay tuned. All right. Talk to you next time, everybody. Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop.
And I'm John Cook.
Hey, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review if you're listening on the website. The podcast comes out every week. We've got lots of great interviews. We're putting more and more content out there, and hope you enjoy it. We'll talk to you next time.